We're back. It's another edition of Syracuse Sports. Brent Axe, Emily Liker, spring football. We're landing the plane, Emily. We're coming down the home stretch here. Today, Thursday, we actually have a little Friday action, and then the spring game on Saturday. Lots going on. We're going to be all over for you all week long here on Syracuse Sports and on Syracuse.com as well. We'll have a full team at the spring game as well on Saturday. So we're ramping up for the big game doubleheader at the Dome on Saturday with the lacrosse game earlier in the day. Paul Gates, number 19. Finally, I should add, making its way up to the rafters for Syracuse lacrosse. So it's going to be a big week and a lot going on. And we'll, of course, be talking about it all right here on Syracuse Sports. And your questions, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We want to hear from our Syracuse Sports insiders by texting 315-847-3895. Your direct questions, thoughts, opinions, what you want to know about Syracuse football and everything going on right now. Syracuse basketball, transfer portal, lacrosse coming down the home stretch. Becoming a Syracuse Sports Insider gives you direct access to me via text message. You can try it free for 2 weeks. It's just $3.99 a month after that. And just text the word orange to that number, 315-847-3895, if you have not become a Syracuse Sports Insider today. Emily, we had some action today in the transfer portal. We will start there. We're going to take a shot at the depth chart here. And by we, I mean you, because Emily dug in and did the work on that. And then we're going to hear from Fran Brown and Syracuse's new special teams coach coming up. But let me tell you about Syracuse's latest transfer. It is Clarence Lewis. He is a cornerback from Notre Dame. He started 23 games with the Irish, 6 feet, 200 pounds, actually had a pretty good game against Syracuse a few years back, named the ACC Defensive Back of the Week. I believe he also blocked a punt against Syracuse in that 2020 Syracuse-Notre Dame game. So, Emily, the portal officially opened today. For the next couple of weeks through the end of the month, Syracuse already active in it in day one, and I got a feeling it's not going to be the last guy they pull out of the portal in the second run here, nor the last to leave the Syracuse football roster before April 30th is said and done.
Right. That's, I was going to note, there have been two departures technically for Syracuse, though both guys that have said they're entering the portal were already left off the roster this spring and were not active participants with the team anymore. That's Muafik Parkman, who'd been a running back, and then Khalib Gilmore, who'd been a linebacker. Both of those guys, after being left off the spring roster, formally announced, hey, we're in the portal. So there are a handful of other guys kind of in that scenario that we're waiting to see if they are going to pursue football elsewhere or if they've just kind of decided their careers are done now that their time at Syracuse is done. In terms of current roster guys, like guys who have been around for spring, I would expect we don't see any of those until Sunday at the earliest after the spring game. Though, as you noted, this portal window closes at the end of the month. This is the shorter of the two. It ends on April 30th. So Sunday will be the 21st. That's about 9 days kind of to make that decision. I'm sure there will be more conversations with Fran about, hey, maybe this isn't the best fit for you, or maybe you can go get playing time elsewhere. I'm sure those conversations will still happen. And so it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Fran Brown, we're going to play some more clips from him a little bit later on here in the pod, but here's what he said about the transfer portal today and what his approach is going to be to it over the next couple of weeks.
Whatever it's going to take to help us win game one. You know, it's just what we're looking at, but just whatever it's going to help us, not just game one, that doesn't really matter. What it's going to take for it, not disrespecting them, because I know how they'll try to take it and make this up all week. He's disrespecting us. No, I'm not disrespecting them. I just want to do whatever it's going to help us being able to compete this summer, whatever it's going to help with us being able to maximize each player. And we got to go and assess every position again and make sure that every position is up to par to be able to compete in this conference, because it's a tough conference. So we want to make sure that we're able to go and do that. So we just got to assess everything, look at everything, and make sure that we got all the right pieces. I mean, in the right pieces that are needed for us to go out and play chess with these guys.
That's Fran Brown on the portal. I think he said some interesting things about recruiting as well, particularly local recruiting. You're going to want to hear a little bit later on in the pod. But Emily, you just hit on it. I think some guys are going to see some writing on the wall. I think they're going to see opportunities elsewhere. They're going to get, as we have heard time and time again from these players and coaches, how blunt and up front that Fran Brown is with his players. And, you know, that roster scholarship limit's always been kind of teetering either near or a little over the limit, right? So the numbers game will continue to be played, and we'll be keeping an eye on it for you, of course, as the portal is going to ramp up. There's been a couple of names that have gone in the portal from Texas A&M that Syracuse fans are like, ooh, ooh, we can get that guy, right? Because, of course, the Elijah Robinson connection. So it is going to be really interesting to watch here. But can't hurt to add a player from Notre Dame to your secondary who played at Notre Dame. And Emily, if you're looking at it, we did ask Fran this, and he didn't really answer it specifically. He kept it broad. But I think the secondary, you can always add offensive linemen. You can always add a defensive lineman or two. And I maintain, I think if Syracuse finds the right guy, you don't add a guy at this position just to add it. But if there's a quarterback out there that you feel you can put in that room and up the competition level, I think you do it.
Right. I do think it's a difficult pitch at this point for a quarterback in the, sure, in the portal.
They know they're the backup. That's the problem.
Right.
Coming to Syracuse. Right.
They know they're the backup. There's also two other guys who just went through spring football in the room, who will have a little bit of a leg up unless whoever they were to bring in this hypothetical is super experienced. And so I think that would be a little bit of a difficult pitch, but in terms of the other positions, I think you're right. Like, offensive line, you always want to add extra bodies. Their secondary, I think particularly the cornerback unit, which we saw today with today's Notre Dame edition, like, I think that's a group where we could see maybe one or two more guys sneak in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our first attempt at a depth chart here. I would stress this is a living, breathing, fluid document here. We might change some things around here after watching the spring game on Saturday, but there are some pieces that have kind of fallen into place here. And Emily really dug in and did the work on this. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to pop it up here on the screen. Let's start on the offense here, Emily, and just take me through this and why you put these puzzle pieces where they are.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first three positions are kind of obvious ones, right? At least for the starters. You got Kyle McCord at QB1, Quinn Allen at running back one, and then tight end. I bet we'll see an or between Aronde Gadsden and Dan Villari's name again. And just have both of them listed there because they do play slightly different roles, and I think they'll be pretty interchangeable this fall. I did put Braden Davis first in the Braden Davis or Carlos Del Rio Wilson QB2 column. I don't know. Like, I really can't put it into words, but I've just gotten like a sense that he has a slight edge in this competition now, and I don't know if maybe something in one of these scrimmages we don't get to see, like, has provided an edge. It'll be interesting to see in the spring game, but I listed him first, and that's been a change from recent years. I think Price and Willis will be like an either or in the second running back spot. And then, you know, for right now, I think Max Mang is kind of that tight end 2/3 behind Gadsden and Villari, but there are some guys obviously coming in the summer for the fall who might step up there, Jamie Tremble, Elijah Washington, guys like that. So that'll be an interesting position to watch. Wide receiving group. You know, the wide receiving group, I kind of never see as like starters and second string because they change so regularly, like every single snap that like everyone ends up on the field. It feels like pretty consistently. Obviously, being on the field doesn't mean you're getting targeted every single time. But the six wide receivers I put on the depth chart are Jackson Meeks, Zeed Haynes, those are the two transfers from Georgia. Trevor Pena, who by all indication is 100% back from his injury in the fall. Yamari Hatcher, Donovan Brown, and Daryl Gill Jr. So those are the six I have there. And then the offensive line we talked about last week, right? I just kept those the same from what we had reported, though I did switch in David Wolabaugh at that second string right tackle position. I think in terms of the offense, like the offensive line is certainly probably the most in flux, just because as we've heard from all of those guys, they're moving around all over the place, and what positions they're in one day doesn't necessarily mean they're in those positions the next day. But by all accounts, this is the group, the number one group that they were in for the scrimmage on Saturday. And that was Enrique Cruz Jr., Jacob Bradford, Gianre Reed, Mark Petrie, Demetrius Weatherspoon. And that was going from left tackle to right tackle. And then in the number two group, we believe, for the moment, it's Josh Miller, Lysander Moello, Joe Moore, Joe Cruz, and then I put in David Wolabaugh because I think he will end up back on the depth chart once he's healthy.
Yeah, a couple of notes on the offense here. I think it was a good move to put Braden Davis first, but I would stress the word or. I think it's close. I don't think either one has stood out, but I feel like they are leaning towards Davis. And Emily, that is something the spring game could really tell us, is who's the backup. You know, you look at Justin Lampson a couple of years ago. Sometimes that position can be won in the spring game. I would put Yacine Willis ahead of Juwan Price because, you know, he's my guy. Because he's getting on the field, but Price is, they're going to give him every opportunity to play as well. But it shows you the depth that's been built up at the running back position. And of course, I think Dave Woolabaugh will start at right tackle, provided he's healthy. But this is the first string they're working with at this point, with Woolabaugh out of spring ball with a boot on his foot. Let's switch to the defense. What are we seeing here, Emily?
Yeah, you know, so the first team defense, there's not really any surprises in my mind. It's pretty straightforward. I guess maybe if you haven't been following closely, there are one or two names that you might be like, oh, huh, I didn't think about that. But first team defense, I'll run through first. And that is defensive edge rusher, defensive end, edge rusher, Denis Jacquez Jr., defensive tackles, Rashard Perry and Elijah Fuentes Cundiff. Other edge rusher, Fadil Diggs, obviously no surprise there. He was brought in to be an instantaneous starter, right? Linebackers, Marlo Wax and Derek McDonald. That's been obvious from the start. Cornerback, Jaden Bellamy. Then you got your safety group, Elijah Clark, Justin Barron, and Deuce Chestnut. And then the other cornerback spot, I think Marcellus Barnes Jr. coming out of spring seems poised to be the number one there, which makes him, I believe, the only true freshman I put on a first team. There are a couple other in the second team, but that's the first team defense as I see it. Does that feel pretty predictable, Brent? I feel like it does.
I think so. You know, and a lot of people, our texters, when we sent this out to them, because as a Syracuse Sports Insider, you got to look at this first, were wondering about, well, I thought Fran brought in all these new guys, yet I'm seeing some familiar names on the list. It's like, well, yeah, because there's some good football players on this team, like a Marlo Wax, like a McDonald, a Clark, and Juice Chestnut wasn't technically on the team last year, but feels like he's been around for a while. But the new guys that are, it's almost quality over quantity in that case, Emily. Diggs, you're going to put in. Go back to the offense, Kyle McCord, you're going to put in. You look at Ingram as a second-team defensive tackle, pushing for time. And remember, some of these new guys that they brought in are freshmen or inexperienced players that are they still have to get their reps and still have to get their feet on the ground before we're slotting them in first-team spots. But, yeah, I think that looks pretty kosher to me.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I was going to say that. It's that in that first transfer portal group, the first 11 or 12 that they got, outside of McCord and Diggs and then Jackson Meeks, like a lot of those guys are just in their second year of collegiate ball, their second or third year, or maybe have a few more years under their belt but hadn't played a ton at their previous schools. So not everyone that got it brought in that transfer portal period, nor everyone who gets brought in over the next 2 weeks, is like an instantaneous starter in the way that we think of McCord and Diggs for sure. Second team does have some more of those names that I'm sure people were looking at. I have on the edge Isaiah Hastings, and then tackles Braylon Ingram, and then Kevin Jobody Jr. or Michael Nwokocha. I'll admit the second D-tackle spot on the second team, I was a little up in the air about, especially not seeing it. Right. Especially not seeing a ton of team period too. I was kind of just looking at like the order they're running drills in and who was kind of getting praise and stuff like that.
So you could probably add a second or and put Deion Wilson Jr. in there, the tank as well.
That's true.
But again, same thing of what we talked about. Some of these guys are just kind of getting their feet on the ground, figuring some things out, but the competition level is pushed, and I think he's going to push for time. I think he's going to get on the field one way or the other. And I'm intrigued by that Marcellus Barnes Jr., Devin Grant competition. Barnes has stood out from what we've seen, from what we've heard. So I think that is legit to put him there. And the edge that he's getting, guys like Barnes, Yacine Willis, King Joseph Edwards, and a few other freshmen that are already on the roster and going through spring ball. Grant's a productive player, all-MAC guy. But he had 5 interceptions, I believe, last year. So even if he isn't slotted in that first team spot, he's going to get on the field too. Like, that's why you bring in these transfers. And I think the impact is going to be felt there. Special teams. Oh, go ahead, Emily. One more.
I was going to say those two have definitely switched back and forth.
Oh, sure.
Barnes, yeah. I just think in this final day, we did see Grant getting, or I saw Grant getting torn into a little bit by Fran today. So there's definitely some things that he wants him to improve there, I think. And so that's why he's in that second spot right now.
All right. Special teams now. And remember, Brady Denneberg comes back, a place kicker. Jack Stonehouse is the lone punter on the roster at the moment. So yeah. He certainly has an edge at the starting position, although Denneberg and a couple other guys have worked on it. Jack is the only pure punter on the roster, so perhaps another transfer portal target there. Tom Callahan at long snapper. Interesting note on special teams, Emily, in that Stonehouse is now the holder. Remember, it was Justin mm-hmm. Barron who did that. Stonehouse is now working in there. And we were kind of debating going back and forth on the kick return game at this point. We think Pena certainly slotted there, but is it Donovan Brown, or could we see another name or two kind of raise their hand and say, hey, wait a minute, I can do this too, coach?
Right. Donovan Brown, I admittedly put there because he was there last year, and we have not seen a single snap of kick return or punt return this spring. So I just kind of went on former knowledge of who could be there and playing that position. Certainly Trevor has always been the go-to guy in the past and remains a guy that people praise in this program. So I would expect he does have the first team spot, but that second team spot could probably be anyone. I believe Daryl Gill Jr. played a little bit back there last year. I wouldn't be surprised. Zeke Haynes, knowing how fast he is, if they put him back there. But yeah, special teams is an interesting one because we just haven't seen a lot. I put Braden Davis in that second holder spot just because as we were kind of leaving practice today, I glanced over and he was holding the ball. So I was like, that's going on the predicted depth chart. We did ask Valono about the special teams coordinator about whether they're going to bring in another punter, because certainly we saw last year having only one punter. They had two punters on the roster last year, but on the travel roster, they only ever brought Stonehouse. And so was it the UNC game? There was the punt gone awry and Stonehouse took a hit that then knocked him out for a couple plays. And we were all kind of like, they don't have another punter. And so Brady did that. Valono said Jaden O, who's the backup place kicker, has also been taking some punts. He kind of made it sound like they're not looking to pick anyone else up at that position, which I was like, okay. I was like, that's fine. I get there's other positions that you maybe want to prioritize, but obviously they can't like name names or anyone, but we kind of pressed with like the idea of like, oh, well, would you like to have someone in there by fall? And he was like, let me put it this way. We're satisfied with the guys we've got. And we're like, okay.
All right.
One punter rolling into fall.
Special teams matter. And if you can roll with one punter and believe that Denneberg or some of the other guys that you mentioned can step in an emergency situation. Remember, roster is a little bigger these days. You got more room to work with. There's going to be a name or two in the portal you can bring in. Syracuse does have a lineage at punter and some guys that have had a lot of success here have gone on to not only the National Football League, but now you got the UFL out there too. And pro football, Sterling Hoffrichter is out there amongst those names that you could put on that list. And Riley Dixon, of course. So just something to keep an eye on. We did get to meet James Valono today, the special teams coach, and I'm always curious about special teams and the approach there because that is the pathway on the field for a lot of guys that maybe aren't going to start or not seeing the time that they want. And one thing he's told us, Emily, is we're going to see some names. Like, they've been doing these awards that they put out on social media, and we've seen some big names, some starters, some guys that maybe you wouldn't think you'd put on special teams, and it's a different philosophy, different strokes for different folks in terms of sometimes you don't want to put those guys out there on special teams just for injury prevention. It doesn't feel like that with this coaching staff. They're like, no, you're getting on the field and you're setting a tone in that third part of the game.
Right. No, I mean, we've seen tons of starters in those awards, particularly on defense, right? Like I think Dennis Jockes Jr. was one of the first ones to get named. Marlo Wax has been on there. Justin Barron has been on there, unsurprisingly. Diggs was on there. And, you know, last year we did see some of that. Like, I recall Wax being out there occasionally on special teams and stuff like that. So this isn't like a complete 180 for Syracuse in terms of special teams philosophy, but like, certainly it does sound like big playmakers are going to be out on the field. And you know what? There were plenty of moments last year when Syracuse probably did need a lot of big playmakers out on the field during special teams that maybe could have helped swing games one way or the other, or at least the field position battle in games one way or another.
We met Coach Villano, as noted, and he told us a fun story about how he got the job at Syracuse. Here it is.
So we actually had only met one time. I was recruiting in South Florida, and we were crossing paths recruiting the same young man. But that was about 7 years ago. In 2016, I had the opportunity to coach the University of Georgia, and a couple of those guys were still on the remaining staff that Fran had worked with. So hopefully that connection had worked. But I'll be honest, guys, I cold called him, and he answered. And then we had a pretty lengthy interview process, and it went well, obviously. So it was really, really a wonderful opportunity, and I'm thankful for it.
How often have you cold called looking for jobs before? Is that well, common, or is that
no? It's not. You know, I was in a really unique situation. I was at Troy. We had just won back-to-back conference championships, 24 games in 2 years, and our head coach had gone for another opportunity, and there was uncertainty if I'd have an opportunity to go with him, right? And I was in this phase of, do I have the opportunity to go? Do I have the opportunity to stay? And then I saw this opportunity open up, and I said, Hey, Coach, I know we don't really know each other, but I'd love to talk to you if you have a few minutes. And he said, you interview tonight. Let's go. And so that was the start of the process.
How about that? You know, somebody who does have a little bit of experience, and I stress the word little, in sales, the term cold call gives me hives, right?
Yeah.
Just well, you either can do it
too.
Or you can't. What's that?
You have to cold call in reporting, too.
Oh, sure. You know, for some reason, that doesn't give me as much agita as cold calling people and asking for their money, I guess,
that's
right?
True.
But it is part of the process. But it is unique because we hear so much about the connections. Nick Williams told a similar story about that's how he met Fran. These guys are crossing paths in airports and coaching clinics and all these things, and they see each other at some point, right? But for Villano to see that it's open, want the job, cold call Fran, all right, you interview tonight. Here's Fran's response, Emily, about basically Villano, like, leave me alone, man.
Yeah, everybody that he and I both knew called me, too. So it was like, all right, guys, like, leave me the freak alone. And then they kept calling me. But and he just had good character. You know, it was something like he stood out. He was funny. But he had good character, and he stood for a lot of the same things that we stood for. And then so I interviewed him, so he made it to the second interview, and then I let the entire staff go on and listen to him. And then my phone rung from everybody that I knew that he knew and worked with. And they kept telling me how great of a guy he was and where he was at. Then I called him. I said, hey, listen, I don't need anybody else to call me. It's only going to hurt. I'm tired of talking to them about you.
There you go. Persistence pays off, kids. Get you on a Division I coaching staff sometimes.
Notably, you know, Fran Brown kind of did the same thing with John Wildhack, though. Like,
true.
He just called Wildhack up and was like, hey, I want this job. I don't know that it was quite as much of a cold call as that was, but
it wasn't on the radar till late in the game, right? Sometimes
right.
you got to make the ask. You got to get in there. And Michael Scott, right? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. So good on James Villano getting in there and figuring things out. And it was interesting to, as we said, to hear his philosophy about special teams, who gets on the field. I was talking with Brady Denneberg a little bit today. And look, Bob Ligashevsky was an established veteran, had coached in the National Football League. He's respected at that position, was originally supposed to come back on
right.
the staff. And that just didn't work out. And in comes Villano. He was one of the, if not the last coach, Emily, one of the last coaches added to the staff.
I think he was the last because Ligashevsky didn't leave until late January.
Late in the game when that happened. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. And, you know, it was interesting to, we did see a little special teams work today, and the way they do this drill, it's kind of helter skelter. It's chaos. People are running on and off the field. It's chaos on purpose. And Denneberg says that drill has really helped, kind of centers him, and they're trying to simulate game situations. And another thing that I don't have the audio here, but one thing Denneberg told me is just how much crisper everything is. And we keep hearing it from these guys, DART, right? That first word, detailed. Everything's more detailed. And that's big with a kicker, right? Dealing with a kicker is like dealing with a golfer and their golf swing and the mechanics of their golf swing and the things they're constantly working on there. And Denneberg having to take that step forward as a kicker here. And he just emphasized that a couple of different times when I talked to him, Emily, about how much more detailed things are, which in that room is really important. We mentioned Stonehouse is the only punter in the room right now, and now he's the holder as well. So look, we saw some issues on special teams with not only the punting situation at times, but penalties was another issue there that has to get cleaned up. And I just feel like I've long advocated for this. I know you only have 10 spots on the coaching staff for official assistant coaches. It feels like that room's a lot bigger in some other ways. You need an emphasis on special teams. It is an important part of the game. It is field position. And I'm glad to see that Fran Brown has at least continued that.
And that had been, if I recall correctly, something that Wildhack had told us when we talked to him about the head coaching search, was that he wanted a guy that knew the importance of special teams and recognized that. And that was something that he felt had been lacking last year. And, you know, outside of the already mentioned issues, there was the multi-time issue of can Brady hit a 57-yard kick, which we were told he could, but never saw happen in a game. So that was like a weird kind of back and forth, was can he or can he not hit a 57-yarder? I guess we'll continue to see this year, though ultimately we don't know if Fran will put him on the field for one.
I did watch him kick about 12 kicks today. They were working on their own indoors while the rest of the team was outdoors, and he was at about the 40, 45 yard range, and I did not see a miss. So there you go. Little kicking bonus. Kickers need some love too, right? We asked Fran, a couple more from Fran Brown here, Emily, what's the spring game going to look like? Here's what he said.
We're going to have fun. That first half, you got to make sure you're there, be there. Like, if you're from Syracuse, you should be at the game because you'll see it. And we're going to set it up where you're going to be able to see action. You know, it's not going to just be where, okay, it's fun. Hey, put the old lineman back deep, let him catch a punt. I ain't with all that bull crap. Bro. We ain't doing that. We're going to let us like get in there and play ball. So being there early and you're from here, you'll like it because you're going to see contact. You know, and that's what football is made from, just being tough. You'll see guys trying to establish us being able to run the football, us being able to take some shots and do some things and put guys in one-on-one situations so you can see all of our guys' skill set, you know. And then you'll be able to tell us what we need to get better. By the end of the game, by the end of the first half, you should be able to tell us, okay, this is what you guys need to fix, this is where we need to go, and then we all can get together and then we make it all work together. So that way y'all won't be in here in a little while saying, well, how come you never did this? I'm going to say, how come you never told me what we needed? Because we all get a chance to watch us.
Two things on that, Emily. One, hallelujah, that we're going to see some real football. Two, now he stressed the first half. What I think is going to happen in the second half, there's going to be a running clock, and they might call off the dogs a little bit then, right?
Yeah.
I should note, by the way, for those of you that are planning on attending both the lacrosse game and the spring practice game, you need a ticket. So you can go to both, but if you're going to the Syracuse-Virginia lacrosse game, make sure you grab a ticket. They're free. You can get it at Cuse.com/tickets, put it right on your phone. It's general admission, but you have to have a ticket to be at the spring football game if you are at the lacrosse game. It's not just automatic admission, so take note of that before you go to both on Saturday. But what'd you take away from what we think we're going to see on Saturday? I'm actually kind of anticipating it now.
Yeah, you know, the other interesting thing we heard, as what sounds like a new tradition that they're going to start, is they're going to start doing a quad walk, which is like a thing a lot of SEC schools do to some degree, is like some sort of big parade-y walk into the facility. And so that is happening at, I think, 5:15, so about an hour and 45 minutes before the game starts. There's not going to be other stuff going on the quad from what we heard today from a spokesperson, but they will walk through. You'll be able to wave, probably take some selfies. I don't know if they'll be dressed up like they normally do for games or like what that'll be, but that is a new tradition that it sounds like they're starting. So I think that'll be cool. I think the big thing, I don't know if we've even talked about this on the pod, is that they have the guest coaches coming, the alumni.
Oh, that's right.
So Zaire Franklin and then John Lawley, who obviously is the namesake of the new football facility or the new the new athletics facility, it is going to be used by a lot of teams, but primarily football. And, you know, we asked some of the players, we asked like Justin and Marlo, like, do you guys know what this is going to look like yet? What's like their involvement going to be? And they're like, honestly, no, but like, it'll just be nice to have those guys on the sideline, especially I think for the defensive guys, getting to connect and talk with Zaire, who's had a very successful career in the NFL so far in these past couple years, and just also just got married. Shout out Zaire Franklin and his wife. So having them around, that's like an interesting other twist to this spring game. And I think, like you said, first half, I would expect is mostly starters, maybe second string. And then once we get into the second half, it'll be, okay, let's pull Kyle McCord off. Let's make sure he doesn't get hurt. We'll have him stand off to the side and more second, third string there. And so that'll certainly be interesting to watch too. Because as we said, when we went through the depth chart, there are position battles to watch in the second string. So
particularly at the quarterback position to keep an eye on there. And the alums, Zaire and John, notably, we're going to see more players around. When I talked to Donovan McNabb last week, pod is still up, by the way, check it out here on our feed. So wherever you watch or listen to Syracuse Sports, he thinks he's going to be back for the spring game as well. Fran Brown talked with Kevin Johnson today about, I don't know if that had to do with the spring game. I think it was, he wants to connect him with somebody, but that alumni connection is a lot more open, a lot more welcoming. And we're going to see, I think, more alums at this game than we've seen in recent years. A couple people have started to ask about, well, what's the attendance going to be like? I certainly think it's going to be the most attended spring game we've seen in a long time. I just think there's enough of a buzz and a buildup there. People are going to be there for this thing. I don't want to, you know, once upon a time, George McDonald, who was the offensive coordinator for Syracuse under Scott Schaefer, said, I think he wanted 20,000 people at the spring game, right? Yeah. And we kind of laughed at him just because what we've typically seen is 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people at these things pretty consistently. I'm not ruling anything out, Emily. I would not be surprised by anything we see on Saturday, particularly with the doubleheader with the lacrosse game, which is a big game. If you're going to make a day of it, be up on campus and go to both. Like, that number would not stun me if they actually reached that number at that point. I don't have a read on it. Tickets are free. You can get up to 12 tickets, by the way. So if you want to get a group together and go to the spring game, like, they'll give you 12 tickets to go, which I think is great. So we'll continue to keep our eye on that and see what the buzz is for Saturday. But I do think we are going to see a lot more alums. I think we're going to see real football for a half. I think we're going to see a pretty good crowd. And no matter what the numbers are, Emily, I feel like this is going to be a pretty passionate, into it crowd that is going to appreciate seeing what they're going to get to see. And then you get to do the autographs and everything afterwards. Like, this is going to be a convention, if you will, of some of the more passionate fans. But I think a lot of fans that are starting to come back, they've heard the buzz. What's going on here? Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I want to go check this out and see the new guys and see McCord and see some of the new flashy things that are out there. So it's going to be certainly one of the more intriguing spring games we've seen in a long time here.
Right. It's a first look, and first looks are always fun, but especially when you have new personnel and new coaching staff and all of that, I think there's certainly extra excitement around it all.
ACC Network Extra is where you can watch the game. You guys have been asking about that. So that's on, you know, ESPN Plus, basically. Check that out. It's not on TV per se, but still easy to access and find if you've watched games on ACC Network Extra, lacrosse games, and things of that nature. As we noted, it's free to get in as well. So Emily and I are going to circle back on Thursday, and we're going to have a little fun. We're going to kind of recap spring practice, some things that stood out to us, do some superlatives for the spring game itself. I should note that's Springsteen Day. I may or may not be a little distracted the closer we get to the actual concert. So Emily might have to carry the show on Thursday as my mind's going to be drifting elsewhere as the day goes forward. And then Saturday, Emily and I are going to do what I think is going to be a live post-game podcast, just like we did for football last year. And of course, the basketball post game shows as well. So we're gearing up and getting ready for that. It's going to be a fun week.
Yeah. Hopefully I don't get kicked out of any suites at the Dome as did happen to be on more than one occasion last year, trying to film post game pods at other places.
We will secure a spot. Maybe we'll go up in the, like, high up in the rafters or something where they can't kick us out and do the show. Well, we will certainly find a spot where hopefully the cleaning ladies don't come by.
Right.
Going to be a lot of fun. I'm fascinated, by the way, Emily. So Springsteen is Thursday night. And that is a huge setup, a huge stage. Pete Sala and his crew at the Dome are just experts at this. But that quick turnaround to get all that stuff out and get the field back out and turn the Dome into a football facility again, they'll have time to do it. They'll have a whole day to change it over. But I'm always fascinated by that because Springsteen's got quite the setup. This is not just like one of those football basketball flips that they've kind of got it down to a science. Like, this is a little more involved. There's a couple tractor trailers worth of stuff that they're building in that place for that concert on Thursday. So they'll have it ready to go, not only, of course, for football, but that lacrosse game starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So going to be interesting to see how they do that. But Pete Sal and his crew, they got it down to a science, and they'll be ready for lacrosse and football on Saturday. Busy times on the way. We'll be all over it. Emily is writing a whole bunch of stuff on Syracuse.com, including that depth chart that we mentioned, a little bit more on that. Some things we'll be following through the week. Thanks for hanging with us here on Syracuse Sports. I would remind our Syracuse Sports insiders to send your questions for us. We'll answer some of them on Thursday and what is essentially our spring practice preview show. But anything you guys want to know about football, basketball, lacrosse, what's on your mind Syracuse Sports-wise, text away. And if you're not a Syracuse Sports insider, become one today by texting the word ORANGE to 315-847-3895. In the meantime, for Emily Liker, I'm Brent Dax. This has been Syracuse Sports, and we'll talk to you next time, guys.